If you were helping to open a new Sunday school in a certain community or starting a church in a new area in the city, and opposition was to be developed in that area against your project, do you think a person should quit? Would you quit? I'm sure Paul wondered about this because of the developments that took place and while he was at Corinth. He had been speaking to these people and reasoning with the Jews in the synagogue, and they had opposed him and were hindering the work that he was doing. And you'll remember we are reading now in the book of Acts in the 18th chapter and had gotten through to the 6th verse when Paul made his decision to turn away from the Jews. We read that when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, "Your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles." And at this point, Paul definitely turned to work with people who did not have previous religious training. When you're thinking of Gentiles, all that that word means is that they are people who have not been instructed in the ways of God. They do not know the Old Testament scriptures. They do not know any of the promises of God. Now, they may have religion. They probably do have religion of their own. But they know nothing about the Bible and nothing about the scriptures. And he began to work among these people. So now we read on in verse 7, and we come to something that it's worth noticing, because you may be a little surprised to hear about this. In verse 7, he departed thence, that is, he went out from the synagogue. He no longer tried to work with these people who had the Bible, but who did not want to follow on into the truth of the gospel. They had the record of the Old Testament scriptures as to how God dealt with his people, and they had the promises in the Old Testament. But when Paul stood there before them and preached to them to show them what the meaning of those things were, that what that all amounted to was that God wanted to work in his people to do his will, and so on. In order to bring that truth to them, he had been teaching to them and preaching to them, and they were opposing him. They did not want to follow on through to this understanding. He departed thence, meaning he withdrew from them and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God. This is a man who worshipped God, but was not one of the Jews. He believed in God, but he had not been instructed in the Bible and in things of that nature, whose house joined hard to the synagogue, which is an old English way of saying it is right next to it. And in there he started preaching and teaching, close by the synagogue, a sort of a cottage prayer meeting style of thing. Isn't that interesting? Wouldn't some people think that if he withdrew from the synagogue, he should have left the community altogether? Notice what he did. He came out of the synagogue and started a cottage prayer meeting right next to it. Wouldn't some people say that he was running competition? Wouldn't some people say that he was not recognizing the rights of other religious activities? But for this, you'll need to have the broader understanding as to how Paul understood this thing. He considered the people in the synagogue as unwilling to follow the ways of the Lord. He knew what he was saying, and he knew what he was doing. And Paul wasn't going to give in to any shallow, superficial notion that any kind of religion should be respected, that every kind of religion was just as much right as every other kind of religion. That could be true socially, that could be true politically, that could be true so far as the community is concerned, but that wasn't true so far as Paul was concerned. If the people were teaching things that were in keeping with the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ, they were his brothers. If they were not teaching that kind of things, no. And he needed to bring the gospel to the very people that were in the synagogue, to the very people who were under the influence of this other system. At any rate, that's what he did. And I bring it to your attention. It isn't a question of us saying whether this is right or wrong, or whether you want to do it or you don't want to do it. I want to bring your attention to what Paul did. That's the way he went at it. And now in the 8th verse we read, "And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house." Now let's go back and think about this. He came out of the synagogue with his ministry. He didn't any longer try to hold his teaching and preaching in the synagogue. He went outside to a house right next door. But while he was preaching right next door, in a private house, the things of the gospel, the chief ruler of the synagogue, following him over there and listening to him, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So you see, the result of Paul's procedure, coming out of the synagogue and starting to work a work right beside it in a private house, was confirmed by the response. God gave his work blessing, and many people were brought to the Lord. It stands to reason, as you read it, that you have to admit to yourself that had he stayed in the synagogue, this might not have occurred. We don't have to speculate about that too much. We just need to read it and try to understand it. And I want you to notice that the Apostle Paul, being in that community to preach the gospel, did so. He would like to get along with the people. He went to the people who were interested in spiritual things or religious things. He went to the people that had the Bible. He started to teach and to preach there. They wouldn't have him. So he went right next door and went right on teaching and preaching, and people were saved. And a great many people came to believe. And now let us notice what we see in verses 9 to 11. All of this seems to be brought up even on a higher plane than what I've been talking about. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And as I said to you once before, when we have Paul having these visions, I'm inclined to think that this means Paul had been praying about this. I have no doubt at all that Paul was wondering whether he should stay. You remember what they'd been doing in other cities up until now? When trouble was developed and opposition developed, they pulled out. When opposition developed, they pulled out. Paul had no great pleasure in contention, because quarreling and contention can confuse the issue so that people won't even get to know it. But here, while he's evidently waiting on the Lord and praying about what he should do and seeking guidance, this is what happens. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. And someone might say, I would even ask you, why did he do that? Why didn't Paul just understand it? And you know what I'm inclined to think? I'm inclined to think that this particular line of truth that's going to be shown him in this vision was the kind of thing that Paul would never have thought of. It reminds me of the time that Peter got the vision on the housetop about going to Cornelius. This was a change in the procedure, enough of a change in the usual way of doing things that Paul needed special revelation about it, is the way it would strike my mind. At any rate, the Lord spake to Paul in the night by a vision, and this is what he said. Be not afraid. Afraid of what? Afraid of the controversy? Afraid of the opposition? Afraid of the peril? Be not afraid. Be strong where you are, but speak, and hold not thy peace. Set forth the true gospel. Open your mouth in public and explain the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are people opposed to you. I want you to preach it. There are people who don't want you to say anything about it. I want you to tell it. Now notice verse 10. For I am with thee. You can remember the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. Same thing here. I am with thee. And every man or woman who teaches and preaches the truth that is in Christ Jesus can have this in mind, that the Lord himself will be with the person who is seeking to share the truth so that the heart and the mind of others can be opened. This would, in my judgment, this statement, I am with thee, I have a feeling that we ought to reserve that for people who are obedient. I am not sure that this is saying, I am with thee because I am with everybody. I am not sure that this is to understand, I am with thee because I am with thee all the time. No, I think this has special bearing on his ministry. I'll be with you in what you're doing. I'm inclined to think that this promise, I am with thee, in this case, is valid because Paul is an obedient man, doing what the Lord wants him to do. Now listen further. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. You need have no fear of suffering loss. Does that mean he won't be beaten? No, I don't think it means that. Does that mean he might not be mobbed? No, I don't think it means that. Do you think that means that he might never be stoned, he might never have any trouble of any kind? I don't think it means that. But I may think it means this, that Paul is not going to lose in whatever happens. No man shall set on thee to hurt thee. You need have no fear of suffering loss. For I have much people in this city. That's why I want you to do it. The Lord is going to save many in the city of Corinth. And you know, here's an interesting thing. If the Lord's going to save them, why does Paul have to preach? Because that's how the Lord does it. There isn't any such thing, in my own understanding of the gospel, there's no such thing as the Lord saving people apart from the preaching of the word. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And so Paul is telling, the Lord is telling Paul, I have many people in this city, so you stay right here and preach so that we can call them. The need is to hear the gospel. The Lord will save them, but Paul must evangelize them. The evangelism activity is essential to bring in the Lord's own. And so we read, he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God unto them. And by the way, when you have that expression again, teaching the word of God unto them, the message of God, the truth of God. And you will remember when you hear these things, there isn't any argument about certain things that happened, certain historic facts especially, and so on. That's not the point. The great truth of God, that God will receive those who put their trust in him, that God does call all men to yield themselves to him, that whosoever cometh unto him he will in no wise cast out. And if we come unto him and yield ourselves to him, he will work in us the will and to do of his good pleasure. We'll be saved by the indwelling grace of God, the Holy Spirit of God from within, changing us and making us into his children. That's what's going to happen. And this will be done through Christ Jesus, our God and Heavenly Father. Make us to be faithful in our witness, in our time, that we might serve thee acceptably. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.